To 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I love looking at some of the different things with the Bible, things that are opposites, things that are similar, triplets, promises, and a string. There's different ways of looking at your Bible. I know Judy and I pray every day for divine appointments. Thought I was going to have a divine appointment. Well, I had the appointment, but the person wanted to cancel it this morning. Had a chance to try to witness to an inspector today. And asked him, because he knew we had to change the date. They're doing a final inspection for my good friend Bob across the road, get the electrical done. And the man was very cooperative. I got the time mixed up on Judy's appointment, Syracuse. So I called late last night, left a message, and he called me back. He says, I'll switch things around for you. And a lot of times that doesn't happen. You can go a week and then have to deal with that. But he come, and I told him, and he knows my wife's got cancer. I said, can I pray for you? And he goes, no. And I said, just something serious. And he goes, no, we'll keep your wife in our thoughts. Yeah, but no, you don't need to pray for me. I'm good. And, of course, my mouth automatically wants to go, there's none good but God. Okay? So didn't have that appointment. And then when we went to the oncologist, and, of course, we're not getting great news or anything like that, but we pray for him and his wife and his children every day for their salvation. We pray for his father who's got cancer. And the father's gone into remission. And when I can mention to the doctor, we pray for Harpal Das every day. That's his father's name. And he looks in, and Judy goes, and before you leave the room, Dr. Kumar, we're going to pray for you. And so she takes his hand, I take his hand. You know, he's not used to this. And we pray for him, praying for God to bless, open his heart, and pray for God to work there. Hi, Philip. Philip. That's okay, Philip. I go squirrel a lot, too. Okay? So we're turning around, you know, and we prayed for him, and we got done, and tears are running down his face. So you never know what God's going to use, and that's the way we pray for that. But, you know, it's so many people, we live in a day and age where people are angry. Christians, don't be angry with other people. If they're saved and you disagree with them, they're your brother, sister in Christ. You know, just don't talk. You say, God bless you and move on. If they're not saved, they're going to be upset. Love them that hate you. Be kind to them that spitefully treat you. And so you will do what? Heap coals of fire on their head. God's the one's got to work in that. So we're living in an age where the line's being drawn. People want to say they're spiritual. They'll say they're religious. They just don't believe in the God of the Bible. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. Or they don't believe Jesus Christ is God. And so many times, until something becomes serious, then they're willing to cry out many times then. Then they're going to turn to you. If you have shown a heart towards them of compassion and you have been willing to say, I'm praying for you, even when they are resentful or whatever it might be, many, many times it turns around because they'll look for somebody who all of a sudden they say, well, that person prays. They must have a relationship. I don't. Would you please? And it opens the door to be able to speak to them more. It's happened twice this week for me in other situations. But it's a case of people don't believe. So I just want you to think about this. I haven't done this in a long time. So Howard, for you. An atheist was spending a quiet day fishing when suddenly his boat was attacked by the Loch Ness Monster. In one easy flip, the beast tossed him and his boat high into the air. Then it opened its mouth to swallow them both as it was coming down. The man sailed head over heels and cried out, oh my God, help me, save me. At once, the scene froze. The boat, the man in the air, the Loch Ness Monster with his mouth wide open. And as the atheist hung in midair, a booming voice came down from the clouds. I thought you didn't believe in me. And the atheist looked up and said, come on, God, give me a break. 2 minutes ago, I didn't believe in the Loch Ness Monster. So you never know what people believe in, but you need to believe And we sing a song that says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed. You prayed tonight, right? Keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I don't remember, I hadn't made a note when the last time I preached this message. So if it was in the last 2 years, someone here tonight needs it. If it was longer than that, it's about time. Okay? Because we're looking at the fact that God is a God of opposites. God is a God of opposites. Turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. I don't know about you, but I love looking at how words are written. You know, when we turn around and I understand certain things about it, but in Isaah 53, another promise Judy and I claim, okay, when it talks of our Savior, it says, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Those are all what? Past tense, aren't they? Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Past tense. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with the stripes we are, not past tense, we are healed. We are healed. Isaiah 55. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So much of what, when you believe the book you read and you apply it in your life, makes no sense to the world. You know, you turn around, why can't they see it? Because it doesn't match logic. Because if it was logic, man could produce it. It's supernatural. It's divine. Okay? Only reason I don't believe some other books than the Bible, I'm telling you right now, I don't believe in the Ethiopian Bible. All right? There's not 88 books, there's 66 books. All of a sudden, you know what happens? Satan wants you to think you're going to get new revelation right at the end so he can confuse you. You with me? And God is opposite of that. You know, when people think they're special, and it's hard because you know what? We're King James Bible believers. But you know what we do? We think we're special. Careful. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. See, his ways are not our ways. Now turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel. And here you have Saul, the first king of Israel. And Samuel said also unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto what? Hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man, woman, infant, suckling, that's a baby, people, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou camest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuge, they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be of the Lord. I have what? What does it say? I have performed the commandment of the Lord. I'm going to ask you, did he? And Samuel said, what meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to the sacrifice of the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. People will do something saying, I'm going to give it to God. God's a God of opposite. When God gives a command, you know what he expects to happen with that command? His ways are not your ways. So many times, you know what we think? We think we have a better way. A better way. Then Samuel said unto Saul, slay or stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said unto me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast not thou made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. You know, we say, I didn't do that. You know who does most things in your house when you have children? A little boy named Not Me. And a little sister who said, I don't know. That's the way that works, okay? I did what you told me to. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Where should the king die? Where should he have died? On the battlefield. But the people took the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Adam, where are you? What have you done? The wife thou gavest me. Eve, the serpent beguiled me. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? What did he do? He said the people took them. They're just playing follow the leader. Do you understand? The Bible says undue much is given, much is required. That's why God has a higher standard and holds the pastor of a church and the staff of the church and the deacons of a church to a different standard than the people of the church. They're held to a high standard, but the leadership is held to a higher standard. Okay? And the Apostle Paul said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. You know what the problem is so much of America and American Christianity? They want to preach, they want to teach, just don't look at their personal life. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the iniquity of idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king. To obey is better than sacrifice. I was in Bible Institute many, 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 many moons ago in Rochester. It got put in a Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. And the pastor at the time, he's not the pastor there, he's a friend of mine, George Grace. This man going to his church won the New York State Lottery. And they asked him what he was going to do with it. And he says, oh, I'm not going to give just a tithe. I'm going to give 25% to the church. People, Christians shouldn't buy lottery tickets. It's yours. Okay? But if you win, if you're going to give it to the church, make sure it's at least $100,000 so we can pay our debt off. No, I'm only kidding. Okay. Psalm 40. I'm being facetious, please. I'm teasing. Okay. Psalm 40. Verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. You know who fulfilled that prophecy? Your Savior. He said, I always do those things that please Him. God's a God of opposites. If the world says one thing and it seems to make sense, I don't care if it comes from a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a doctor, a lawyer. And God's Word says contrary to that, not just a verse pulled out of context, but Scripture with Scripture with Scripture with Scripture. If you want God on your side, who do you listen to? For me to tell you, Pastor Keenan and I try to teach you anything different would lead you astray. We do not live by our circumstances. We live by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Because God is a God of opposites. Okay? Turn to Luke chapter 18. We're going to be jumping around the New Testament a little bit. Luke chapter 18. Jesus is speaking here in verse 9. He says, And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. I am not as other men. Okay. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners and unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be what? Exalted. The way up with God is down. It's down. Humble, he will exalt you. Matthew 23. Verse 11. We'll go above that. It says, verse 9, and call no man your father upon earth, for one is your father, which is even in heaven. That's something that helped me know that before I got saved, I was going to the wrong church. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. You ever look at, you know why most men get angry? Because they don't feel they're getting the respect they deserve. Humble yourself and you'll be exalted. I'm not going to pick on the women tonight because I have permanent pronouns. He. Okay? The greatest will be a servant. Proverbs chapter 16. We're coming back to Matthew in a minute. Proverbs chapter 16. Verse 18, I read through Proverbs with my wife. I read through Proverbs with other people. I do them. Judy's trying to do them with our grandson. She calls and talks to Gabe, and they talk about scripture verses together. Okay? But I read them with other people because I want them to have good common sense knowledge of how to live their life. You want to get ahead of other people in life with common sense and God to bless what you're doing? Read the book of Proverbs. You want to have a heart that's sweet towards the thing of God and humble and understanding God's power and your lack of it? Read Psalms. So we read Psalm and Proverbs every day. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before what? And a haughty spirit before the fall. You know, out of the book of Proverbs, that's one of the most misquoted verses. You know what they always say? Pride goeth before the fall. Doesn't say that. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. 19, it's better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Look at Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the what? Humble in spirit. Just don't be proud that you're humble, okay? You ready? James chapter 4. I want you to know, the way up with God is down and the way down with God is up. It depends on who you're lifting up and who you're putting down. The Apostle Paul said, I bring my body under. That why he what? Preached to others. He himself doesn't become a castaway. James chapter 4. You ready? Verse 5 of James 4. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth who? But giveth grace to who? Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall what? See, the way up is personally going down. Okay, 1 Peter 5. The context of both these is in spiritual battle. Spiritual battle. Do not engage in spiritual warfare if you think you're going to fight in your strength, your righteousness, and your own holiness. You will be used to mop the floor. You're dealing with the second most powerful entity in the universe when you deal with Satan. Created being, he's not close to God. That's why God has to be your power and not you. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger. What does that say, teenagers? Likewise, ye. I want to hear that word. Teenager. What's the word? Oldest man in the room says it. Teenagers, what's the word? Likewise, ye younger. Can you say it for me louder? Okay. Submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you. I see that due time. You know what I think of? His time. Because man, it's not my time. It's due time. Casting what? Who do you go to before you go to God with it? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that's your enemy, okay? Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God's a God of opposites. When you're under attack, get on your knees. You're still under attack, get on your face. And don't get up until you've gotten peace from God. Do you understand me? That's what it means to pray without ceasing. So many times we give up when our prayers aren't answered in the time frame that we expect. Yes? Okay. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. See, the first point, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. People think if they give something, you don't have to worry about obeying. Second point is, the way down is up and the way up is down. Humble yourselves and he'll exalt you. Matthew chapter 10, and we're finishing up. Matthew 10, verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not what? He that findeth his life shall, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Third point is on finding and losing. Finding and loosing, I should say. Go to Matthew 16. Verse 24, Jesus said unto his disciples, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Luke chapter 9. Verse 23, and he said unto them all, Luke 9:23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The Apostle Paul said this. I have to say it to myself. I've told people all the time, the biggest thing I fight against is a quick anger. It's the biggest thing I fight against. And I have to tell the Lord every day, you must increase, I must decrease. Lord, it's not about me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God, help me not to be that way. If said unto them all, if any man will come after you, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You make that choice every day. Will you be perfect in it? The only perfect man was also God, and they crucified him. You will not be perfect. But he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Whoso will be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. You want to find it? Lose it to God. One more passage, John chapter 12. Verse 23, because Jesus is talking about the coming. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is John 12, verse 24 now, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it shall bring forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there ye shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You ever think about it? I always like it. You know, talked a long time ago with Russ Gettman about it, because he plants corn. He does farming, or he sold his farm now. But he used to plant it, and he goes, Brant, you put one kernel in, you get one stalk of corn. Generally, you get 3 ears of corn on every stalk, minimum. On every ear of corn, you get how many kernels of corn? See, if you do the right thing with your kernel, that's you, your body, your temple of the Holy Ghost, and you die to self, it doesn't just add to God's glory. It figures up by a power of 10. See, the issue is pride and humbling, self or Savior, His way or my way. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts will be established. The world says you have to think right to do right. God says, even when you don't understand it, do it my way, and your thinking will come around the right way. All God's children said, good night and God bless.